You're listening to Enlighten COVID-19 podcast series, a podcast dedicated to helping your business beat the pandemic. Join us as we unpack how COVID-19 is shaping the future of customer experience and offer insights on ways your business can not only survive, but thrive through these difficult times. Great to have you on this, our fifth and final series in the podcast around business and COVID. Today, we're going to chat about values and how values have changed. And existing value systems will remain intact until they're challenged sufficiently to consider change and reforming of those core beliefs. And obviously with COVID and everything else in the South African economy, it's been a very interesting couple of months. And today we have with us on this podcast, Vanessa Raffaele. Vanessa is the founder of The Village, a highly respected, harmonious and supportive South African parenting community of approximately
37,000 followers of parents of teens, tweens, and young adults.
Vanessa's the go-to person when you're having a crisis with your children. We're going to chat about a survey that we did with The Village a little bit later on. So welcome, Vanessa, and thank you for joining us on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me.
Also joined by Justine Jackson-Fraser, who has a company called Psychology at Work, and she's the founder and owner of Psychology at Work. And Justine's a behavioral specialist and really works with organizations and individuals that has a look at organizational culture, has a look at personal belief systems and how that impacts behavior and how our personal beliefs and values influence how we engage with others, whether it's in our personal capacity or within our kind of business capacity. So welcome, Justine.
Thanks. It's nice to be here with you, gorgeous beasts.
So just as hosts of this podcast, my name is Natalie Schooling. I'm CEO of South Africa's leading CX business called Enlighten, and my very handsome business partner, Brendan Bairstow-Klopper. So there are four of us on this podcast today. So I'm going to let Brendan just maybe chat to Justine to kick off.
Yeah, I mean, I think, really to set some context when we start to think about values, et cetera, et cetera. Justine, from your perspective, how do individuals form their value set? And what makes somebody change their values? I mean, do values change? And if so, what set of circumstances would need to come into play in order for people to change their values, whether it's, fundamental changes or whether it's slightly more subtle?
I think if you have to go right back to the thinking, feeling, doing part of all of us, those three big pistons in your psychological engine, thinking, feeling, doing parts. Thinking is that voice that goes in your head the whole time that never shuts up. Hopefully there's not more than 5 or 10. but that voice is telling you your thoughts, and those thoughts come from your belief system. So everything that you've ever believed about the world feeds those thoughts and that running commentary on your in your head. Those thoughts are then connected to all the feelings that you have, your emotions, and they're connected to your behavior, whether it's consumer behavior, as Natalie was talking about, or whether it's just day-to-day behavior. So if you want to change a value or a thought, the other two things change as well. So it's not so much about what precedes or what comes after, but it's more about if you impact one of those three things, either your thoughts or your feelings or your behavior, it's likely to have an impact on the other two, definitely. So it's like a system that continually moves and shapes and impacts one another. So if you've got, like for instance, our wonderful COVID scenario, you've got something that's impacting your emotions incredibly. I think we chatted in our first podcast about anxiety. And then you've got, it also impacts behavior. I mean, we've had our behaviors curtailed and controlled, and we've been told what we can and cannot do. So those, both of those things being impacted by this pandemic will certainly have an effect on our thoughts, which will feed back into our belief system and our, which is values,
yeah,
the trunk of values. Yeah.
So we in Latin, together with Justine and the village, did a sort of small test sample, and we must point out here that the village has got a very particular demographic, mostly female, obviously, because, you know, women kind of run the household and have to deal with raising children. So mostly female, mostly Cape Town, although it is, correct me if I'm wrong here, Vanessa, but I believe that it is mostly sort of Cape Town, although it is international. There are people all over the world.
It's mostly Western Cape, but it is international. And of course, we do have across South Africa as well, but 92% female.
Yeah. So just as a precursor in terms of the results, but we looked at how lockdown has changed consumer behavior. It was around spending behavior. It was around valuing community. It looked at, lockdown, how did it affect your health, et cetera. So perhaps... Vanessa, if we could ask you, in terms of the results that came out, what really struck you?
What really struck me was that the strongest response was to the question about whether lockdown had made you value time and connection with your loved ones more. And of course, 82% of them said they did. Me, of course, I'm the outlier. I would probably want to kill my family faster than the virus does. But I think that kind of feeling, that emotion of looking for meaning, looking for depth, looking for connection runs through all of the values, actually. And maybe it's something that has just risen to the surface in these times as we found ourselves, most of us, in fight, flight, or play dead mode, I think, over the last 4 months. Definitely this need for connection and emotional authenticity and understanding the value of the value of stuff, I think, was the thing that came out strongest.
Justine, perhaps from your from your angle, what would you comment around some of the results that came out of the survey?
I think it's quite hard for us as people to easily admit that our values have changed. We seem to like to think of them as like deep and core, and we want to keep them and keep them like sacred almost to ourselves. So what I was loved about that survey was how quickly people admitted that, yes, I've changed this, I've changed that. And I think that does provide such a nice big gap for clients to wiggle into and to find a market leading edge in that new space that's created, particularly by people who are so easily and happily admitting to changing some of their values. Whereas I think without a big collective PTSD experience, I don't think we cop to that as quickly because it would almost be admitting that we had to change something, which I think is in human behavior, it's not always the easiest or the most kind thing for us to do for ourselves.
Yeah. And obviously a lot, I mean, no surprises came out in terms of people really are valuing a slower, more present and sustainable lifestyle more now than ever. Which for me was really interesting is that people actually valued it, valued spending time, maybe not you, Vanessa, but valued spending time at home with their kids. And I would imagine it's those parents that, are being able to get a salary, et cetera. I'm not sure if you would feel the same way if you weren't. But for me, that was really interesting. Also, there was a heightened sense of patriotism in the results of the survey. And again, it's a moving target. I mean, I think if we had to speak to people now, there's a heightened sense of, if you will, a groundswell of unhappiness because consumers, people feel that they're being, you know, bullied and told how to behave for way too long. Any comments from you, Brian?
I mean, I think for me personally, you know, this lockdown period has really forced us to reevaluate what is important for us and, you know, what we consider to be essential. And I know for me personally, really, you know, having a look at what I value as an individual. And I think that it's some of the themes that I've seen come through from a customer or consumer perspective, and they were there pre-lockdown, but obviously just accelerated, you know, through this period that we continue to go through, is an increased focus on trust. Mm. You know, I'm sick of fake news. I am sick of fake friends. You know what I mean. I'm sick of so many things, to be honest. And I think that trust as a driver of human behavior, you know, whether it's in our personal relationships, whether it's in terms of the brands that we choose to acknowledge and support, et cetera, et cetera. I think that people are going to value kind of a sense of safety and security. And I use safety and security quite loosely. So on the one hand, it's obviously personal safety, mm-hmm. Because there is, you know, a virus going around. But then, you know, safety in the sense of, and to your point, Vanessa, you know, feeling closer to that romantic partner. Some of the results showed, you know, having respect for the lockdown rules. And I think that, you know, that is a bit of a moving picture. You know, more of a focus on health and our kind of survival focus. I think that there's going to be a greater focus on convenience. You know, certainly when any of us go shopping, and obviously depending on the day of the week, you know, I'm tired of having to stand in long queues before I just, you know, pop in to kind of buy bread and milk as such. So I think that there's going to be a lot more focus on the whole convenience aspect and, a greater sense of empathy. Mm. And I think that really ties into the whole human connected piece. So, you know, on other podcasts and conversations that we've been having, we've spoken a lot about, you know, moving into a more digital type environment, which I think definitely has its place. But as human beings, we crave that connection. And I think that in terms of the businesses that we support and the brands that we support, that empathetic connection is going to become so much more important. And for me, that ties into some of the results from the survey, where, you know, those respondents are saying that they are now going to support or have been supporting smaller businesses and kind of home-based industries where they can have that empathetic, trusting connection in terms of what they're getting.
Vanessa, from, you know, you obviously manage this enormous group of Facebook followers. Over the past 6 months, what have you seen change?
I think that this has brought out the best and the worst of us. You know, the village's values are very, very much about its DNA, embedded in its DNA is a sense of decency and a sense of giving back and community spirit. So with regard to our survey, I mean, we already have a community who is committed to doing good and to actually living well for their children. So it is skewed in that level. But I have found people really rushing headfirst towards safe harbors, emotionally safe harbors in terms of trust, as Brendan was saying, in terms of, and maybe it is just decency, the thought of, as a human being, as a consumer, the thought of one's needs being met. So what I found very interesting in the survey, which does reflect, is that there were 74% who said they supported more small businesses. As our economy has been decimated, so many of women in this position are having to pivot. I hate that word. It's such a cliche, but create their own small businesses. So there is, I see women, particularly, as Brennan said, trying to go, finding their way towards safe harbor and towards somewhere where their own values are respected and reflected, and somewhere where they feel safe. So when they say they support small businesses, that has a very strong community spirit belying it, because a lot of people who would in an otherwise, in a differently structured economy, they might be employed. This group of people often aren't. They are having to do it for themselves. So I think that the need for community and the respect for community is driving that. Then at the same time, 41% of them, 35% of them, so 76% of them said that price and convenience was hugely important to them in terms of their decision making about where they spend their money. And that also talks to what Brendan was saying. We don't want to be in queues, not only for the old reasons that queues are not the way we actually enjoy shopping and enjoy consuming, but they're not safe anymore. So convenience has changed, I think. It's no longer the notion of convenience has changed us. It's become home shopping, online shopping, to such an extent that it is normalized now. And that is such a great opportunity for so many small players, I think. And all of these things have been reflected in the group over the last 4 to 5 months, because when you trust people and you have a community you can trust, of course, you ask authentic questions. And so I really, and also because the village offers people the chance to ask anonymously, I have heard the secret questions and the secret needs of people in ways that perhaps other formats don't. And so these things, all I can say is the responses here are very, very authentic. They're true. And that's what makes it so exciting, because I think in this instability, and in this instability that's reflected in all our lives, come so many opportunities. And here we have very, very strong drivers telling us what people are looking for and why. So for me, for someone who is, bold, has balls of steel, which of course we all need if we live down here on the wild frontier, I see opportunity everywhere.
That's great news for those budding entrepreneurs.
It was a great, I saw it pop up on my phone last night, was a mix of the convenience that they were asking for in the survey, plus that need to connect with an authenticity and trust in a brand. There's a new app called Pushcart, which is similar to Uber Eats, where a virtual ice cream truck comes into your space and then pings your phone to tell you it's there. And then the delivery of whether it's Bitterballen or whatever it is that they've made in their food truck can be with you in about 2 minutes. So that's amazing. That's new.
Yeah.
And that I think was definitely born from the fact that more people are at home.
Yeah.
We've all been using Uber Eats, till the cars come home. And now you can do it with your daily and your shopping as well. So somebody really saw that opportunity.
One of the amazing things that I realized before lockdown was how different groupings of people were forming. And I think the village is really just one example of that. So the village was filling a need for community when bricks and mortar communities in our country for sure were broken already. As a middle-aged woman, often many of us are single, we don't live in particularly safe areas. We're not socializing and connecting and shopping in the way that we would if we lived in different worlds. So the this notion of community and of local in an online form has been, that is why something like the village exists. And so when you look at what human beings are responding, they responded before, they always loved recommendations, they always loved reviews, they trusted someone they knew saying that something was good. That used to have to be over a cup of coffee, or it used to have to be at your book club or whatever it is. Now more than ever, it's these online communities that have stepped into the into that open, empty space. So that means that something that is recommended by a large group of your peers in a space that you respect and admire and feel safe in yourself is of huge value, absolutely huge value. It doesn't mean that big brands or big companies online portals that themselves hold that value. But the kind of authenticity of a community that is together for its own reasons and that has built trust, I think has become one of the most powerful platforms to get messages about product across. if you're brave enough to do so again. You know, it also means that small communities can market to each other in ways, and I think that is becoming more, I've noticed that in the last 4 months. You find home delivery services that are not the Uber Eats ones. It's not only the restaurants. It's also the woman who was a chef in her past life and is now at home and is producing curry for her neighborhood at a price. And it's trusted because her community online is telling everyone that it's brilliant and it's like mommy used to make it. And those things, I think, in terms of messaging and in terms of speaking to people are definitely big changes.
Thanks, Vanessa. Justine, any reflections before we wrap up?
So I agree with you, Vanessa. I think that there are lovely opportunities coming about because of all this massive change. I also think we are sick of the word pivot and we're sick of having to pivot. So it's the more organic ones, I think, that will stick the longest. So it's when we not forcing change or forcing ourselves into the gaps and opportunities that happen, but the ones that kind of line up with all these new values that we have, which will be the ones that sustain and the ones that if your companies or your clients can see those through surveys and through
understanding the communities that they serve.
And those real questions and those secret questions that Vanessa was talking about. If they can tap into that raw, unfiltered, unfake news information, I'm sure that they'll find some way of capitalizing on all this change and all these rooms and spaces that have opened up.
Great. Yeah.
Justine, I probably got one last question for you. So you obviously continue to do a lot of work within the corporate space and you're running virtual workshops, et cetera, et cetera. How is, for the corporate companies that you've been exposed to, how is corporate SA feeling? How are individuals that are working for these corporates, you know, how are they feeling in terms of their values, in terms of their outlook, their behavior, et cetera, et cetera?
Anxious. Yeah, I think the management and the boards are all looking at whether the market's going to bounce back economically and how they can do some repair work to their bottom line, whereas the employees themselves are nervous about what that means in terms of job cuts. So there's a high level of anxiety, which isn't really the friend of your brain. Unfortunately, it's not the friend of innovation. So it's not the friend of making joy out of all of these new gaps that are in the market. So they don't marry well. But those people, I think, who have got enough resilience and enough rationality will be able to make the most of those opportunities. I think corporate South Africa is very shell-shocked, yeah. I think some companies moved really quickly onto the virtual space. Whole call centers were moved virtually and, they sold big buildings and they're not going to go back in. So maybe it'll have a great impact on the levels of traffic in Cape Town. I would love that. But there's a big sector that's still waiting for, the old normal to come creeping back and maybe they're right. But we must just keep our eyes open because
who knows?
We don't know how to predict. Yeah, we don't know how to predict this stuff. Who would have? Not even the best psychic from Cape Town.
We're all so excited for 2020.
Ladies, thank you so much for joining us today. As we say, it's a moving target, but I think that with some laser-focused questions in terms of our clients' communities, I think that it really does or will have an amazing impact in terms of understanding some of the opportunities that's out there because of the change in consumer and customer values. So thank you for joining us today, and we wish you well leading up to hopefully the end of COVID. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for tuning in. Join us for next week's episode as we continue to discuss the future of customer experience and learn how to make the most of this unique time. Until the next one, take stock, be bold, and stay relevant.